That's the movie that Sally Field won the Oscar for. This is WMFO Medford. Watch this. Derek Gary sitting in for Chris Earle. Counting down five awesome, incredibly strong female leads from not too distant history, but not recent history. Movies absolutely worth checking out. Norma Rae shares performance in Moonstruck, shares performance in Silkwood and Sally Field's performance in Norma Rae, where they're both playing like everyday Americans, are two of the great, great performances between 1975 and 1985 for women. They both won Academy Awards for those roles. In Norma Rae, Sally Field was playing a woman who was a union organizer at a mill that was basically killing all of its workers because of the conditions that they were working in. They were all getting respiratory illnesses. And there are men around her in this movie, and there are men coming in and trying to save her, and men who want to possess her, and but Norma Rae never loses sight of the prize. Norma Rae risks everything to do the right thing and shuts out everything else because she has to do what she knows is right. And a big part of it has to do with her father dying as a result of working in this mill where she now works. It is based on a true story. It is a great, great film. I don't know if Norma Rae is streaming anywhere right now. It's probably not, because none of this stuff seems to be streaming anymore. If it wasn't made in the last 5 years, nobody puts it on any place anymore. Stars has got it, if you've got a subscription to Stars, which I do. Highly recommend checking that movie out. It will, all the themes in it, everything that it talks about, still very much relevant today. So it's a time capsule in the way that it looks and feels, but in what it talks about, it is anything but. The last one, there are two possible entries for number one, but we're going to go back to Where It Begins. And I forget how this trailer goes, so we'll see. This is the original, very first trailer for the first of these movies. Space, no one can hear you scream. Still effective, although it's almost entirely sound effects and visuals all these years later. Ridley Scott, hey, was it number five on the list with Thelma and Louise? Now he's back at number one on the list with Alien. The interesting thing about the script for Alien is that no genders were specified for any of the characters. So when Ridley Scott went out to cast it, he could cast it any way that he wanted to. And he brought actors in. And he said, okay, I like you for this, I like you for this. And he likes Sigourney Weaver for the character of Ripley, who is, between Alien and Alien 2, Sigourney Weaver and the character of Ripley had the good fortune of getting two directors who were not at all afraid to challenge the status quo of genre film and have a strong female lead. In Alien, it's very much just about her being the most capable and the most resilient out of everybody on board that ship. Everyone other than Ripley has a weakness that can be exploited. You might make an argument that Yaphet Kotto's character doesn't, other than his need to sort of stick around other people. That's what does him in. But she is the most pure and straightforward out of everybody who is involved in that mission. That's why she survives. In Alien 2, they take it into more of a maternalistic thing with her. We find out in the extended version of that she had a daughter back on Earth who has since died. She goes out on the second mission, meets a young girl who is the sole survivor, and immediately forms a sort of maternalistic bond with her. But again, Ripley is the one character in the middle of everything. Even Bill Paxton, who's supposed to be in charge of the Marines, Ripley is the one person who can hold it together and deal with things. She doesn't need a man to save her. She doesn't need anyone to save her. She will save herself, and she will save those that she loves. She is a brilliant archetype and a brilliant template for the strong female action heroes that will come after her. Sarah Connor's existence owes an awful lot to Ripley. And it's interesting that when James Cameron, you can make a case that Sarah Connor in the first Terminator probably isn't going to get too far without Kyle Reese keeping an eye on her, that she's not necessarily capable in that film. But she's still strong. And by the time Cameron gets to Terminator 2, we have a Sarah Connor that looks and feels a lot more like Ripley than some of the weak cannon fodder women that we'd seen in movies previously. 855-915-9636. Those are five films with very strong female leads. Number five, Thelma and Louise. Number four, Thelma and Louise, by the way, great movie. Go see that. Number four, Nightmare on Elm Street. Number three, Terminator 2. Number two, Norma Rae. Number one, Alien. I recommend Thelma and Louise and Norma Rae if you're in a more serious movie mood. The others, you probably know what they are. It is WMFO Medford. Derek Gary sitting in on Watch This for Chris Earle, who is vacationing. He'll be back next Wednesday night. When we come back, we're going to take a look at double feature recommendation, a couple of John Cusack films that may not be the first John Cusack films that come to mind, but are probably two of his best and films that you absolutely should see if you haven't and should see again if you haven't seen them recently. Coming up right here on WMFO.
afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Would you please lower your aerial when entering Universal Studios Car Wash?
Car Wash. A typical day in L.A. Mr. Richard Pryor is Daddy Rich.
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Why don't you climb on board and believe in me? Because it's better to have money and not to need it than to need it and not to have it.
Well, praise this car, honey.
Thank you, miss.
Franco Najai, Professor Irwin Corey, and George Carlin as the cabbie.
We will go anywhere. We are not yellow. Now, get it? It's no kind of a slur in the Chinese or anything like that.
Special guest, the Pointer Sisters, and an old disco soundtrack. From Universal Pictures, it's a clean movie.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Everybody's got the fever. Saturday Night Fever. Paramount Pictures presents Saturday Night Fever, starring John Travolta as Tony Manero, the king of the discos. Every guy wants to dance like him. Every girl wants to be with him. Saturday Night Fever. Catch it. Rated R. Under 17. Not admitted without parent.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Medford 91.5 FM. Happy Wednesday evening. This is Watch This with Chris Earle. I'm not Chris Earle. I'm Derek Gary. Chris Earle will be back next Wednesday night, and I will be with you tonight from 7 to 9 for a special edition of Here a While. Stick around for that. We're going to be playing some of the best songs of summer of all time. But for now, a little double feature recommendation for you. John Cusack is an actor who I have loved for much of my life. Like most people, the first time I saw John Cusack was in the John Hughes film 16 Candles. Since then, we know everything that he's done. Say Anything is a touchstone film. If you were growing up in the 1980s, like, everybody saw it, everybody had an opinion of it, everybody loved it. Or most people loved it. It's great early Cameron Crowe. John Cusack and I also were born on the same day of the year, a few years apart from each other, but on the same day. I've loved him as an actor. I've loved him as a writer. I've loved him as a producer. And I got the chance to meet him a couple of weeks ago here in Boston. He was talking about one of his films, doing an event for that, and, you know, making a little money for himself. I'm not going to blame him. There were two John Cusack films that came out in 1997 and the year 2000 that have huge cult status, but might not be the first thing that you think of when you think of John Cusack. They're probably not the first John Cusack movies that you're going to reach for. And this is a shame. Not anything against other John Cusack movies, because Lord knows there are a bunch of them. Say Anything, of course, is going to be, you know, high on that list. Maybe you like Better Off Dead, which is a Steve Holland comedy classic. But there were a couple of movies that John Cusack made that he wrote, that he produced, that he starred in. And they're both fantastic movies. And he talked a little bit about how these movies came to be. In the late 1990s, there was an executive at Disney who was friends with John Cusack, who liked John Cusack, who appreciated John's work. And the way that Disney would structure their budgets at that point in time, they would throw a lot of money at whatever the big films were that they were going to make that year. And then they'd have a little bit of money left over to do some low-budget productions. So John knew this guy who was in charge of doing the low-budget films. And you'd get like a few million dollars and you could go away and make your movie. And Disney would pretty much leave you alone and let you make whatever movie you wanted to make. And this is where these two films came from. They are both great auteur movies. At a time when auteur movies, and when I say auteur movies, I mean you've got a very strong artist influence on this. We're not talking about director as auteur, because John Cusack did not direct these movies, but he produced them, he wrote them, he starred in them. He had a tremendous amount of influence on what wound up on the screen. And if you are looking for a great summertime double feature, maybe it's raining, maybe it's too hot, and you want to stay in where it's air-conditioned, I think you could do a lot worse than these two films. And if you don't know them, you absolutely want to go out of your way to find these movies and see them. One of them, I believe, is on cable right now. I will get you that answer in 1 second. But here's the trailer for number one from 1997. This is a hilarious, hilarious movie. And this is sort of, I like to think of this movie as the dark alternate future of Lloyd Dobler.
I believe it's been 10 years since you left Grosse Pointe.
Don't tease me, you know what I do for a living. I just honestly don't know where I have in common with those people anymore. And what am I going to say? I killed the president of Paraguay with a fork. How have you been?
Go see some old friends. Have some punch. Visit with what's-her-name.
Debbie.
Don't kill anybody for a few days. See what it feels like.
I'll give it a shot.
No, no, don't give it a shot. Don't shoot anything.
I'm a pet psychiatrist. I sell couch insurance. I lead a weekend men's group. We specialize in ritual killings.
Hi, I'm Martin. You remember me?
Oh, I know who you are.
What'd I miss?
Well, since you stood me up on prom night and vanished without a word.
Babe, I got you, babe.
I'll come home.
I got you, babe.
Get up, put together a little concern.
You mean like a union?
In trouble.
Just a moment.
Welcome back, Pointer.
You haven't changed a bit.
Don't say that.
What do you do, Martin?
Professional killer.
Good for you, it's a pro industry.
Do you have to do postgraduate work for that, or can you jump right in?
There's a contract out in your life, but I'm not going to do it. It's either because I'm in love with your daughter or I have a newfound respect for life.
That punk is either in love with that guy's daughter or he has a newfound respect for life.
Debbie, I'm in love with you. I know we can make this relationship work.
It's not easy for me. I always control my emotions. I just need time to change.
Why don't you just join the union?
These unions are going to be meetings?
Of course!
No meetings.
I want you to think about this, and you don't have to answer it now. But Debbie, will you marry me?
Grosse Pointe Blank from 1997, starring John Cusack, Minnie Driver, Dan Aykroyd, and a young Michael Cudlitz for you Walking Dead fans out there. Michael Cudlitz is a minor character in this film. The movie is about a hitman who goes to his high school reunion, partly to get away from things, but also because he winds up having a job to do. And he is being pursued by other hitmen. The movie is just this bonkers mix of 80s style sensibilities, action movie sensibilities. If you were a fan of films like Beverly Hills Cop, or if you were a fan of Say Anything, imagine that those two films sort of had a child, and you would get Gross Point Blank. And the interesting thing about it is John Cusack isn't consciously channeling Lloyd Dobler as he's playing this role. But you can sort of see, you know, if things had gone a little bit differently in Lloyd Dobler's life, if he had wound up becoming a government hitman, maybe this would have been the way that things turned out for him. Anyway, it's hilarious beginning to end. Absolutely worth seeing. It's and this is a film that John Cusack wrote, starred in, produced. The soundtrack in it is everything that you want from the 1980s. I played the specials earlier. That's from that film. And it's one of the two movies that he made through this deal with Disney where he could just sort of come in and pitch them an idea. And if they liked it, they'd be like, all right, here's a few million dollars. And they'd leave him alone to go make his movie. The second of these two films I'm going to recommend is a little bit easier to come by. Gross Point Blank, by the way, is not streaming anywhere. You can rent it on Amazon pretty cheaply. You can rent it from all of those other rental services that you like to use. But it is not free streaming right now. And if you have a problem with all the stuff that should be free streaming and isn't free streaming, and by free, I mean, I got Netflix. Why aren't any of these movies here? I'm going to have an answer to that question and that problem for you very shortly. So stick around for that. The second of these movies really did a lot to elevate Nicholas Sparks in the mind of the American reader and the American consumer and sort of take him out of, you know, the cult following that he had and into the mainstream.
My store is called Championship Vinyl.
I can't fire them. I hired these guys for 3 days a week, and they just started showing up every day. That was 4 years ago.
Rob Gordon has a successful business and a dedicated following.
I used to go to the double door to hear you spin. You were unbelievable.
But when it comes to dating...
Hi. Hi. This is Penny Hardwick.
Hi, Caroline.
He's still searching for the right woman.
What's your name?
Laura!
Now his search may have ended.
She does this thing in bed when she can't get to sleep. She kind of half moans and then rubs her feet together an equal number of times.
But his problems just started.
I like you with Laura. I don't think much of this Ian guy.
What Ian guy?
You gotta be kidding me.
Touchstone Pictures presents...
How's Ian? He's growing on me. He looks like he could grow on something.
John Cusack, Jack Black, Lisa Bonet, Joan Cusack, Eben Yila, and Lily Taylor.
Obviously, I know how special Laura is. I would hate it if I lost her. You know what I'm saying, Angie?
Get your patchouli stick out of my store! Get it, man!
Think about it, Rob. Okay?
High Fidelity.
I'm looking for a record for my daughter. I just called to say I love you.
Do we look like the kind of store that sells I just called to say I love you? Go to the mall.
What's your problem?
Do you even know your daughter? There's no way she likes that song. Is she in a coma?
Pure entertainment. Highly recommended. High Fidelity. This is one of Jack Black's first films. Lisa Bonet, you don't see her in much of anything. Joan Cusack is in this once again. Tim Robbins has a small but very hilarious role in this film. Lily Taylor is in this. You remember her from Say Anything. It's a film about a guy who used to be a DJ who now owns a record store. So you've got the crossover appeal to all the record store fans, as well as the opportunity to fill the soundtrack with lots of great obscure cuts. And he narrates the entire film, and he lives his life through a series of top five lists. You know, because he's a guy who runs a record store and everything is about top hits and all the rest of that, his whole life is in top five lists. And we see him break up with his girlfriend and the impact that this has on his life. And we wonder if he is ever going to get his life together and actually be a responsible adult, which is really the only thing that his girlfriend wants. One of the great things about this film is Nick Sparks is a United Kingdom British author. The film was a story set in London. And John Cusack moves it over into the United States with barely any alteration at all. So if you know Nick Sparks, and if you know that sort of London record store culture and that London youth culture, you can see all of it in this movie, but none of it ever feels foreign. You know, you watch this film and you're like, hey, wait a minute. Things over there and things over here are really much more alike than we think they are. John Cusack turns in a brilliant performance in this. He turns in a brilliant performance in Gross Point Blank. They're just fun movies. There's no broader, higher social commentary that we're getting out of this. Maybe High Fidelity comes off as a little bit more enlightening for guys from the male perspective. But really, these are films that just exist to entertain you. And it's getting to be so hard to find films that are just there to entertain you anymore. And again, High Fidelity, unfortunately, is not streaming anywhere. A lot of movies aren't streaming anywhere. Are you spending the money on the Amazon Prime? Are you spending the money on the Netflix? Are you spending the money on the Hulu? Are you, like me, spending money on all of them because your wife has some obscure show that she wants to watch on each one of those channels, and if it was left up to me, we'd be getting rid of everything except Hulu because that's the only one that I think is actually valuable? Why is nothing good on streaming? There's this big lie that streaming sells you that we've got everything. Well, they don't. If you want to do this John Cusack double feature, High Fidelity and Gross Point Blank, films that he wrote, produced, and starred in, highly, highly, highly recommended. If you ever liked an 80s comedy, if you ever liked John Cusack and you haven't seen these films, I promise you, you will adore both of them. But you're not going to be able to get them on streaming. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, I have good news for you that I'm going to share with you in just a few minutes. We're going to take a quick break here on WMFO Medford. And then I am going to tell you about one of the greatest movie stores that you could hope to visit. For those of you who prefer doing your movie shopping in person and not being at the mercy of the Amazon listings, yes, there is an amazing movie store still left around here. I'm going to tell you where it is, where to go. Plus, we're going to take a look at what's in the theaters this week. See it, rent it, skip it, and maybe a couple of other film-going recommendations right after this here on WMFO Medford.
You win the argument at the end of every night. Never know the perfect time to hit the bedside light. Then we lie awake and watch headlights climb the blinds. I want you to know what's going on in my mind. I thought I was immortal a little while ago. I thought that I was right, but now I know I'm wrong about everything. Song you'll wanna sing along. I'm wrong about everything. Think I know what's happening. Think you're like a song, but I'm wrong. The colors fade to gray, and I'm left with black and white. Don't know why I try to fight with what is right. The truth is on our lips, and it looks like time to tell. You know I could be wrong about that as well. I thought a happy ending was more or less assured.
I can do to get up close to you. The Rocky Horror Picture Show is a must for all of you. If you don't go and see it, I shall personally come around to your houses and drag you out by the scruff of the neck. I shall belt you around the mouth and mouth you around the belt. Do you understand what I'm saying? See the Rocky Horror Picture Show, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
When was the last time you were scared out of your wits by a movie? Halloween, the motion picture about the most terrifying night of the year. Halloween, the night three teenage girls discover the real trick is to stay alive.
Tommy, I'm free!
Halloween, the night he came home. From Compass International Pictures, rated R.
Everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is Watch This with Chris Earle. My name is Derek Gary. I will be your Chris Earle for today. Chris Earle will be Chris Earle for himself. Next Wednesday, he'll be back with a new show for you. Stick around 7 o'clock for a special edition of Hear It Wow. All your favorite summer songs, most of your favorite summer songs. I'm not going to play every summer song that you've ever heard, but I'm going to be playing great summer songs from the 1950s to the 2000s. So stick around for that. This is the Love Unlimited Orchestra from the album Super Movie Themes, done just a little bit different. Nice funk take on the hit movie themes of the late 1970s. Barry White's Love Unlimited Orchestra. And Superman, the original, Richard Donner original, another film that you're not going to find streaming on Netflix. Why do we have all these streaming services? You know, we got rid of cable, right? We all cut the cord in favor of the streaming services because they were like, hey, we got all these movies. Look at all these movies. We got so many movies. And then you think of a movie that you want to see and they don't have it. Now, you probably have something in your home that will play a DVD or a Blu-ray. And DVDs and Blu-rays are still a thing. They still exist. I have a very sizable collection of movies. I have two IKEA bookshelves in my living room. The big 6-foot-plus bookshelves filled with movies. Chris Earle has several bookshelves filled with movies. We are movie buyers. And there are a lot of movies that I will tell you not to buy because they're just going to be on streaming all the time. You know, and you know what those films are. They're the ones that didn't really do that great at the box office. So they're going to make some more money out of them by legging them out on streaming. And then they go to FX and they're on cable. And you can just pretty much turn them on anytime you want. And you'll be able to turn them on anytime you want for the next 5 years. Plus the Michael Bay Transformers films. You're never going to be able to escape those. But there are a lot of films that maybe you want to see. Maybe you want to watch Star Wars. Maybe you want to watch the original Blade Runner. Maybe you want to watch the original Dawn of the Dead in a month other than October. Maybe you want to watch High Fidelity and Gross Point Blank because, you know, those sound like good movies. You will remember if you are over the age of 30, maybe 25, if you were a super hip kid, you'll remember when there used to be movie stores. Remember movie stores? And I'm not talking about places like Sam Goody, although Sam Goody and Musicland were good for a short period of time. I'm talking about movie stores. I'm talking about places like Sound and Vision over in Waltham. I'm talking about that great video rental place that used to exist over in Cambridge, a couple doors down from Live Poultry Fresh Killed, where you could walk in and you could find movies from all over the world. And you could either rent them or you could buy them. DVDs, Laserdiscs, VHS tapes, as far as the eye could see. That place over in Cambridge, when they shut down, that was a huge, huge loss. Because a lot of the videotapes that they had over there were pretty much one of a kind by the time they shut down. Things that were ordered out of the backs of magazines in the late 1970s that you just can't find anymore. None of those stores exist anymore. The movie store as we know it is gone, but not entirely and not quite. If you find yourself on Route 28 in Salem, New Hampshire, minutes across the Massachusetts border. So if you used to take an exit 1, you're going to have to go up to Route 28 and take a right to get down here. But if you're just coming up Route 28 from Methuen, or if you get off the last Massachusetts exit, you're going to want to be in Salem, heading north on Route 128. Bull Moose Records. Now, Bull Moose Records has been around for a very, very long time. Bull Moose Records goes back at least as far as Newbury Comics and the rest of those places. Used to be a great record store. They have moved. They have moved closer to the Massachusetts border. They're now across the street from where Newbury Comics used to be. And they have a movie selection that is to die for. Not only do they have all of the current release Blu-rays in stock, including some of the lesser-known distributors. Triangle Video is in there. Arrow Video is in there. The people who are doing the genre releases of Blu-rays, they are all there. They have a huge selection of Blu-rays. They also have probably the most impressive collection of DVDs available for sale anywhere right now. Now, I don't know about the other Bull Moose locations because they're all over New Hampshire and there's some in Maine. But the one in Salem, New Hampshire, if you remember Newbury Comics when they were at the height of their DVD and Blu-ray business, when it seemed like two-thirds of the store was just full of movies before they decided they were going to become Hot Topic Junior, which is what they are now. If you remember that, and you remember going in there and being like, I know they're going to have some rare movie in here because somebody sold a pre-owned copy of it, and I'm finally going to get a chance to buy it, that's what's happening at Bull Moose Records in Salem, New Hampshire. You are almost guaranteed to find something that you've wanted to own for years. You know, maybe something that you used to have and you sold it, and you want to get it back. Or maybe some movie that you've only ever heard about. Their DVD prices for most films are exceptionally reasonable. Blu-rays are a little bit on the pricey side. You're paying pretty much full retail for Blu-rays after the week that they come out. But if you can, unless you've got Amazon Prime and you're getting free shipping on everything, you're pretty much paying full retail for Blu-rays anywhere. And you're going to find a lot of stuff from smaller distributors that you will not find at your local Target, that you will not find at Best Buy, that you will not find at Walmart. What you can buy in a store for movies right now is incredibly limited. And we know this. You walk into Target and you're like, what happened to that decent movie selection you used to have? And it's all family films and stuff that came out in the last 6 months. And a couple of perennial bestsellers that are now available in $10 packages. You know, you can get the old Batman films, the Christopher Nolan Batman films for $10. So they got that. They'll have the Jurassic Park movies because the new movie is out. But nothing beyond that. Their selection has completely dried up. Bull Moose Records, Route 28 in Salem, New Hampshire, is the answer to this. You, if you're going in there on a hunt, expect to spend some time in there because you're not getting out of there quick. This is a large space that they're in, and pretty much everything in the back of the place is DVDs. Rows of DVDs as far as the eye can see. one of the best horror selections you were going to find anywhere around. Excellent selection of music as well, if you want CDs and you want things like that. Decent selection of foreign films. They have most of the Criterion collection in there. It is a great, great place if you loved just walking into a store on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, or maybe on a Tuesday night after work, and browsing through movies for hours to find that one super rare movie that you never thought you'd get a chance to own, or to find that new Blu-ray release of a cult film that you didn't know was coming out. This is what Bull Moose is doing right now. They are keeping the faith for those of us who still enjoy physical media. I highly, highly recommend, if you're one of these classic collector types, I got to have my physical copy, checking it out. They're at 419 South Broadway. That is Route 28, 419 South Broadway in Salem, New Hampshire. And they're open till midnight, by the way. So you can, they're open till midnight every night. So you can just, you know, blow in there at 10 o'clock and be like, yeah, I'll look at movies for a couple of hours. Maybe stop in on your way home from Canobie Lake and let your wife and kids sleep in the car while you go look through movies for a couple hours. Believe me when I tell you, unless you are going in there to buy the new release, you are going to be in there for a while, because you're going to walk in and you're going to see all these movies and you're going to go, I remember this. I used to do this. I remember places where I used to go and just do this and look at movies for hours. That is what Bull Moose is doing right now, and it is fantastic to still have somebody around here who's doing that. If you're wondering where all the old pre-owned movies went, Bull Moose seems to be the place that has them. So absolutely worth the trip. Check out Canobie Lake while you're up there, too. That's worth the trip. Weekend box office. Rent it. See it. Skip it. We got the weekend box office for the week of July 20th to 22nd. A little bit of an upset at the box office this past weekend. So let's see what's on the list, whether or not it is worth your time. Coming in at number 10, $2.86 million this weekend. Its first weekend in wide release, Sorry to Bother You. And this is a film I want to see. I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to, just because summer is busy. And even with its wider release, this is a film that is still sort of a little bit off the beaten path. It's playing in like 1,000 theaters nationwide, as opposed to the 3,000 or 4,000 theaters that some other films are. So if you want to go see Sorry to Bother You, you're going to have to, unless you live near one of these theaters, you're going to have to go out of your way to go check it out. This is a film potentially worth checking out. It is a film, it's right up the road here at the Somerville Theater, also at the Apple Cinemas Cambridge, and at the Regal Fenway. So it's at one and Lowe's Boston Commons. So it's at least a couple of the multiplexes around here. Sorry to Bother You is a sort of science fiction film, but not really. It's sort of an alternate reality film where a black telemarketer discovers that he can do a better job if he sounds like a white person. But that's only part of it. This is a very surrealist film. It's very much in the same vein as last year's Get Out, where there is a lot of social commentary that is woven into this, and woven in a very clever and fun way. The critics are loving it. People who've seen it love it. Absolutely one worth checking out. Number 9, Unfriended Dark Web, pulled in $3.65 million in its opening weekend. Yeah, it's another horror movie. Really, no. This is a rent it at best. It is probably a skip it, because entertainment like this is a dime a dozen. And if you're going to go see the low-budget horror movie, you're probably going to want to see the one that came in at number 8 this weekend, and that is Blumhouse's The First Purge, which pulled in $5.1 million. It has grossed $60 million since it opened, Making it profitable once again for the Blumhouse folks. This is a flashback story. You know the Purge, right? That's the night when everybody can go out and murder everybody, or people can sit in their homes and cower and hide. Those are your choices. This is a story about the very first Purge. And there is a Purge television series coming along later this summer. So you can get excited for that. I liked the first Purge film. I loved the second Purge film. I was completely indifferent to the third Purge film, but I have seen them all on Netflix. So as a Purge movie, if you're a fan, obviously go see it. But as a Purge movie, I will say this is a rent it. Coming in at number seven, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which should have been called Stupid People versus Dinosaurs, $11.26 million over the weekend. Total box office is now at domestic is now at $384 million, so it has recovered pretty much its production costs. I will say this about Jurassic World: The Fallen Kingdom. Go see it if you like this kind of movie. Okay, if you want to see a movie where cartoon dinosaurs fight each other and cartoon dinosaurs chase and eat people, give the Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom people your money. Because they will give you that. They will happily give you that. And you will walk out of the theater and you will say, all right, you gave me what I came for. If you are looking for coherence in a script or logical actions from the people on screen, do not see this movie. As I said, this movie should have been called Stupid People versus Dinosaurs. Because nobody in this script at any point in time behaves rationally or logically. It is an endless series of people doing very, very stupid things that, of course, are going to result in them getting eaten by dinosaurs. That said, the cast shows up for it. And I say it's worth seeing the movie just for that, because I have to believe that Jeff Goldblum, Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard read this script and were like, you have to be kidding me. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But that doesn't stop them from giving it their all. They sell it. They absolutely sell it. It's not as good as the first Jurassic World, but it is a good film. Coming in at number six, Skyscraper, $11.36 million. This has made $47 million so far in 2 weeks of release. This is The Rock doing his take on Die Hard. You remember the Bruce Willis film about I'm trapped in the building? And well, The Rock in this film, his family is trapped in the building, so he has to break into the building and save them from whoever's trying to kill them. Good light summer fun, I guess. If you need air conditioning, there's probably worse things that you can go see. But as a rule of thumb, movies like this tend to be a rent it. There's one coming out with Jason Statham and a giant CGI fish later this summer. That may be a see it. So, you know, look, if you're a Rock fan, go see it. If you like these big, dumb summer action movies, go see it. But for most of us, it's probably rent it. Number five, still going strong, $11.39 million. The Incredibles 2, the most successful Pixar film at the box office, has now made more than half a billion dollars domestically, $557.7 million for The Incredibles 2. Obviously, if you're a fan, you're going to go see it. If you got a family, go see it. This film, from what I hear, is pretty much a rehash of the first one with the roles reversed. Mom's going out and being the superhero and dad's staying at home, but apparently there is a lot of similarity. It's sort of what The Force Awakens is to A New Hope. Star Wars 7 versus Star Wars 4. The Incredibles 2 is to The Incredibles. So if you like The Incredibles, you're going to get more of what you like about The Incredibles. Coming in at number 4, Ant-Man and the Wasp picked up $16.5 million this weekend and has made $165 million so far domestically. Go see it. I've seen Ant-Man and the Wasp. I loved it. It is fun summer entertainment. It is a good Marvel movie. If you like the first Ant-Man and the Wasp, this has more of what you liked about that movie. The two criticisms I will give for the film are, I think it drags a little bit at the end of Act One, but it gets over that really fast, and then it's worth seeing, and then it picks up, and the rest of the film is paced brilliantly. I also think they went a little bit out of their way to try and recycle the whole Ant-Man has to stay, you know, Ant-Man's in trouble and he's trying to avoid the law, so that they can have the FBI or the government or the police or whatever be after Scott Lang along with everybody else. Walton Goggins is there just to be an additional villain, but it's Walton Goggins and he's having fun. Everybody who's making this movie seems to be having a good time. So highly recommend Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's that same level of Marvel quality that we're used to. Coming in at number three, Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation. Pulled in $23.76 million and has made $91.7 million in its 2 weeks in release. Adam Sandler is a vampire, and they're on a boat. They're on a summer vacation on a cruise ship. The vampire falls in love with a woman who is actually a vampire hunter. Hilarity ensues. It's another one of those CGI kid films. You know, if you've got kids, you're going to see it. The one thing I'll say about this is, for anybody who's over the age of 18 and not going on a first... For anyone who's... If you're between the ages of 18 and 21 and you're going on a first date, maybe I could justify this. But if you're over the age of 18, you don't have any kids, this is one you can rent. This is one that you will probably enjoy more at home with the newly legal substances that they will someday sell here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Number two, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. A film that Rex Reed called Submaronic. This was supposed to win the box office this weekend, folks. Came in with $34.95 million. Did I tell you it was number two? Everybody's back, except Meryl Streep. She's back, kind of. Everybody else is back. This film, a sequel to the Broadway, West End, and motion picture hit Mamma Mia, offers more ABBA music, more people dancing around outside of beachfront Greek real estate, and involves the daughter from the first one, who was getting married, opening up a hotel, rebuilding her hotel, and getting married. She's having her own kid this time around, and she's rebuilding the hotel. And a lot of it is flashback to her mom, when her mom was first opening up the hotel. And apparently very little of this makes sense, and the actors are all in each other's timelines, and actual critics can't figure out what's going on. This is a definite rent it. This is a definite rent it at a minimum. Because this is the kind of film that you throw on in the background at a party and everybody has a good time. They're like, hey, it's Mamma Mia. We love Mamma Mia. This is great. If you are inclined to go see it, you know who you are. If you want to go see it, you're going to go see it. You've probably seen it already, and this film may not make its budget back. But if you're looking for something frothy and fun and no thinking required, Mamma Mia is there for you. Coming in at number one, surprising everybody this weekend with a take of $36.01 million, Denzel Washington, who I love as an actor, in The Equalizer 2. Yeah, not some prestige movie with Denzel Washington. It is a sequel to The Equalizer from the man who never does sequels. This movie surprised everybody. This is the biggest opening director Antoine Fuqua has ever had in his career. We'll see if it holds. But I think one of the reasons that The Equalizer 2 may have done as well as it did this past weekend, because everyone thought Mamma Mia was going to be the big one. You take a look at everything else that's in the top 10. You've got Mamma Mia, which is women-oriented. You've got Hotel Transylvania, family-oriented. Ant-Man, family-oriented. Incredibles 2, family-oriented. Skyscraper. Yeah, okay, maybe that's in the... maybe, but that's been out. Skyscraper was not a new... it came out last week. Jurassic World, The Fallen Kingdom has been out for a while. The First Purge, really more for young people. Unfriended Dark Web... yeah, that's a skip it. Sorry to Bother You, not wide release. If you're a guy and you're looking for a big action movie, Equalizer 2, a little counter-programming. You got your big women movie, you got your big men movie. The men came out more than the women. That is all the time that we've got for Watch This with Chris Earle. I am not Chris Earle. I'm Derek Gary. I will be back in a matter of seconds.